welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And this is a, well, we're live. It's our Monday Sunday.
Yeah, Monday Sunday, but also all sorts of, it's a new show.
Yes, this is new. This is not a best of or anything like that.
Well, you all know about that. I'm Bud Dickman, anyway.
Yeah, I'm Margaret Gray,
What are you pointing at me? I don't mind it. I'm a general.
You know your name?
I'm General Shaw. I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, okay, so you said your name twice.
And I'm Margaret Gray. That's three times. Want to do something about it?
No, I don't.
Okay, and I'm Phil Henry. I'm Phil Henry. I'm Phil Henry. I'm Phil Henry. There, I said it four times.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Phil, what are you? Are you challenging me to a fist fight or something?
Yes, baby.
No, you're bugging him about... Anyway, welcome to the show, and it is a Monday, and it's a Sunday. We're live on Sunday, and last week it was just a solid week of work away from home doing other stuff.
No, the other stuff you're talking about is voiceover and on-camera... This kind of thing, right?
Yeah, you know, and auditions and stuff. And it got to the point where I wasn't able to spend 2 hours at home to do anything. So, and...
Well, what about the rescue dog?
And as I said to the pre-show audience and to the BSPs, I'm not going to adopt that dog. And I don't want to get into a big discussion about it here on the air, as it were, because it's only going to get me to think about... You know that, but the bottom line on that was...
Well, you might as well tell people why you're not... I don't even think you told people you were considering it, right?
Yeah, you did. You mentioned it, right?
I don't know. I don't remember. But I was considering adopting a rescue dog, and it's a beautiful dog, and it was a wonderful dog. And the thing with rescue animals, especially ones that have been badly abused, you know, you do need to spend time with them. And as I said on multiple occasions, there's not 2 days that I'm at home 2 days in a row where I'm not gone for 5 hours.
Say that again.
Yeah.
There's not every other day I'm gone for 5 hours. How's that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, Phil, but you were saying there's not 2 days that I'm not home, that I'm not...
Yeah, I'm not 5 hours away.
Yeah, you're saying you're 5 hours away, right?
No, I never said I was 5 hours away. I said I'm spending 5 hours or more away from the house.
Yes, and that is not good for the animal. You must be at home consistently, right?
Exactly. You have to be home consistently, and you have to, especially when the animal is brand new to the house. And the other thing is that there are days when I'm gone for 12 hours. So what was I going to do? Leave the dog here by himself with, at the mercy of Thunder, the cat.
Oh, Jesus. So this cat, and you know, cats are fearless. Let me tell you something about a cat.
Well, General.
No, hold on. Cats, let me tell you, a cat will bother you until you...
Cats are sometimes extremely intrusive, vulgar, and rude.
What are you talking about? Like they're anthropomorphic or something?
What do you mean anthropomorphic?
You're talking about a cat like it's intentionally rude.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but the cat, especially with a dog, cats are intrusive, they butt in. I don't... Oh, look at Phil. Phil, are you all right? Maybe we should get you over there to Goodwill Industries. You could start sewing some pants or something.
What the hell? You're laughing, too.
Yeah, because it was funny. I didn't know what to say to all of this idiotic crap about cats.
Well, are you disagreeing?
Yeah, so you know that a cat can be intrusive.
What do you mean a cat's intrusive? Cats are extremely independent. And generally, if there's a problem between a cat and a dog, it was started by the cat.
Right there. What you just said, right, the cats are always starting, excuse my language, but the cats are always starting shit. And let me tell you something about a dog. A cat may start it, the dog will finish it. Oh, yeah.
Spoken like a dog lover.
Well, yes, I am.
Well, you're not a dog lover at the expense of cats, are you?
I'm not cruel to cats, but I'm not a big cat fan.
Anyway... Marley, by the way, this dog is beautiful with cats. I saw him on a video interacting with a cat. It was fantastic. You know, he's very, very upbeat and has no problem. But the point that I'm trying to make is, if you're gone for 12 hours a day, and you crate the dog, for instance, because you're trying to get him used to his environment, you're also trying to get him used to certain, you know, set rules and how things are done. That's the kindest way you can be to a dog, especially one like that. So none of that I was going to be able to do because of the fact that I was, you know, spending so much time away from home. So I had to kind of reluctantly say,
yeah, you couldn't do it. And so you let you disappointed a few people, I'm sure.
Yeah, Mr. Henry. Because think about all the plans and everything that they made.
Okay, well, that's great, because I told you guys I was feeling bad about it, and why don't you just go ahead and rub it in?
Well, you know something, Phil? People make plans. They expect things. The dog was probably expectantly wagging his tail, waiting for you to come and take him to a beautiful home on the beach. And what did you do? You screwed the... I'll tell you what you did. You screwed the dog.
Oh, God!
Will you knock it off?
Well, you know.
No, that I never even met the dog, and that's the whole point. I was not about to go and meet that animal and bond with that animal at all and then not be able to bring him home. So, no, I never did go over and meet him. I never had the time, you know.
But, Mr. I think you made the right decision.
Thank you very much, Robert. You know, that's what I'm getting from most people, but you guys...
Phil, we give you the truth. And when a dog is sitting there at the front door...
Margaret?
No, let me finish. When a dog is at the front door, his little tail wagging expectantly... He's panting with his tongue out, and he sees his owner. He sees you coming to the front door, and he's expecting kisses and hugs and little milk bones, and you basically turn around and drop your...
You drop your pants to that dog and walk off.
Oh, my God, he's laughing.
What's so funny about that, Mr. Henry?
Like the dog would give a shit, you know? Like the dog would give a shit, so...
That what you did, Mr. Henry?
For the fifth time, I never met the dog.
All right, we're just trying to make sure.
I wanted to just... You know, nailed that down, because it wasn't clear.
Nail it down. Margaret, I did not meet the dog.
All right.
And the reason I didn't is for that very reason. I did not want him to, you know, become attached. And I sure as hell didn't want to become attached. And but you know what? He's with really good people. They're phenomenal people. He's going to be taken care of. He's going to go to a beautiful home. He deserves it. And I feel good about that. All right, Bud Dickman.
Hey.
And what about some of this traffic? We have a big show to do.
Well, we do. We have Bobby Dooley is joining us with Steve Dooley. How was that on Saturday night?
What? Well, you mean the Saturday cinema?
Yes, you did it with Bobby and Steve, right?
Yeah. Well, it was weird. I mean, it's always weird because of these weird asses that you put me with, you know? And,
So it wasn't any good?
It wasn't any worse than any of them. You know, we're watching a movie called The Wasp Woman about some woman that turns into a wasp. Okay, great, wonderful. Now there's a doctor also involved who mumbles like he's got a mouthful of you know, what do you want to call cheese or something.
Yeah, I heard the guy's all going... Rrr, rrr, rrr.
Exactly. And then the movie itself sucked so hard and so well, it could suck the chrome...
Would you watch your language?
I'm telling you.
And the Dooleys?
Well, the Dooleys, first of all, they couldn't even pronounce the word wasp. It was wasp. And then they thought it was about a white Anglo-Saxon cheese.
All right, well, we got Bobby and Steve Dooley coming up. We also have Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Kellyanne Conway photograph. Do you see that, Margaret?
Yes, I did see that.
Well, what'd you think?
I think she took undue criticism for that. I would agree with Chelsea Clinton on that. I think the woman was viciously and horribly attacked. However, let me just say, you don't kneel on a couch with the knees...
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Like...
Well, what are you saying?
With the knees spread wide open.
Well, Margaret...
No, that's what she was doing. And you know something? You invite criticism when you don't act as ladylike as you possibly can. So while I do defend Kellyanne Conway's right to sit with her legs apart, I don't know.
All right, and then we also have...
What's with you?
That was not much of an explanation.
Phil, you know, you really... I think he needs to be hydrated.
Yeah, Phil, this is what you did. You went... You, it sounds like you're freezing up, like you're locking up.
Yeah, but you better get some water.
God, he's laughing. All right, and then we also have Pastor William Renick, who was actually on Hollywood Boulevard when Jimmy Kimmel had that tour bus go into the Academy Awards, and so we'll be talking to Pastor Renick about that and what he saw, et cetera, so on and so forth. But right now, we're going to go to the traffic here with Bob Baking out there on the highways and byways of our beautiful city. Bob, go ahead.
Well, right now, the traffic we got in grip out is we're coming out. We've got a freak out down around the Pasadena Freeway. If you come in the southbound, there's the southbound. You'll be southbound on the ground around the Poundtown, and you'll be in Poundtown. I'll say that right now. And if you're in Poundtown, hey, put that back, and you found it all time. Out that downtown, we've got a Harbor Freeway. It's going to be out there about 2 o'clock this afternoon. CHP in Poundtown, and the Galtown, the Groundtrans, and all those gals that work for Galtrans are going to be galloping out with you. Here's Skyboy now with the West Side.
Hey, Bobby, I'm transitional, but I'm transsexual. That's not Bobby, I'm a gender. And I have a gender, cross-gender surgery. done, and we will be reassigning ourselves surgically. Let's go on over there to Boyd Scabby Miss Sweet Pan. No, 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 no,
I'm having gender reassignment. Boyd Scabby Miss Sweet Pan.
For 2 days only at Jim's of Murfrees. Jim's of Murfrees sports jackets, slacks, shoes, and socks are half off. Jim's of Murfrees. They're at Murfree and 15th in the Salinger Mall. Jim's of Murfrees sports jackets, suits jackets, zoot suits, Cab Calloway cutaways, long tail, short tail, and easy slacks. They're all there for you at Jim Murfrees. Guys, we know you're looking for the right size, and we've got the right size for you. You think you wear a certain size, we'll tell you it's a different size. Wear a jacket too small, wear one too big. Come to Jim's of Murfrees now at three locations, 15th and Hattinger, 16th and Wesley, and 15th and Hattinger. That's two, but we said one twice. Jim's of Murfrees. Men's jackets, shoes, socks, pants, slacks, underwear, and handkerchiefs at Jim's of Murfrees.
Bring any party, any size, any night of the week to Paulo's. Paulo's Mexican food, one of the best places to go to relax and have yourself a shot of tequila and some of the delicious food that we have for you. And also, if you'd help out washing the dishes and busting the tables, that would cut down the price as well. Park your own car. As a matter of fact, put on a little busboy uniform and seat people. That'll cut down the price even more.
Balos. You do all the work as well as the cooking. Balos. The food is as good as you make it. You know, it's not my fault. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com with the gang here. Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us later on, as will be Pastor William Rennick. Bobby Dooley, though, and the, and her husband is who we're talking about here. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us now from Western Estates, although they're having a planning meeting tonight for the Spring Tackler, which is coming up. It's coming up. I don't really know when the Spring Tackler, the different tacklers, Bobby, are scheduled.
They're roughly around the beginning of each season, Phil. We had our winter tackler, though, later this year. We had it in January. But the spring, Steve?
Yeah, spring is on. Going to be in April, too.
So in years past, we've had it around the 21st of March, but I believe this year we'll have it in April, as Steve just indicated. But we've got a lot of other things on our plate. And one of them is as a trumpet. I have been going door-to-door with leaflets and flyers asking people to sign a petition that the media treat President Trump at least with the decency of publishing photographs of him that are flattering. And I think one of the problems that the president may be having is that every time he picks up a newspaper...
All right, now, we're into some business beyond Western Estates, right?
No, let's talk about the trumpet.
Well, I'm a trumpet, all right?
You should explain to people what a trumpet is.
A trumpet is a female supporter of Don Trump.
Well, you gotta call him Don.
I'm sorry, Donald Trump. We are just another level of supporters for the president's great work. And I know there's a lot of disagreement about that, and I don't really want to debate that, Phil. But what I do want to talk about is the issue of these photographs.
All right, and I knew that you wanted to talk, and we don't want to debate issues either, although God knows this past weekend was loaded with all kinds of disagreement.
Well, see, you're trying to bring it up, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring you up.
I'm not bringing it up at all. I'm just saying that as a way of setting up our conversation, there was an awful lot of stuff this past weekend.
Well, see.
That's what we're talking about, and what we really believe is a lot of that is inspired by the fact that the press goes out of its way to publish these very unflattering photographs.
Can you give us an example?
Exactly. What example of an unflattering photograph?
Well, I mean, General, come on. Every time you look, you can find it.
There are examples of it everywhere. Most recently, and I think even you, Mr. Henry, used this on your either your website or your Twitter feed. It is a picture of the president teeing off at Mar-a-Lago. He gets off a beautiful tee shot, one that my understanding was it was about 300 yards on a dogleg left. And I'm not a golfer, but I do know that a little bit about golf courses. He got a beautiful shot off, and yet the press decided to take the photograph from behind him.
Yeah, so the whole screen is filled up with it.
because the entire shot is full of it.
When you say full of it, full of what?
Well, the president tees off, and he's looking down the fairway, and the camera is behind him.
So what are you talking about? His rear end?
The behind, yeah, not the behind, but yes, the rear.
Yeah, the rear area, and we think that it's so obvious that they're trying to make him unhappy.
I really think that when the president sees that, he feels hurt.
Donald Trump being hurt by something? I doubt that.
Excuse me, but we, you know, he is human.
All right, let's assume that the president obviously is going to be offended by certain things. If you go out of your way to publish those pictures, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying you don't want to use that. You need just a behind shot.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
As a joke, man. I used it as a joke.
Well, that's what they're talking about. Because if they're going for this particular picture you're talking about, Ms. Dooley, you say he's golfing.
Yes, and the picture was taken right after he got off a monster drive, according to Dave Sachet.
Yeah, Dave Sachet had been down golfing there.
And he'd seen it, and he tried to get a picture of it. As a matter of fact, the Secret Service said, you know, no photographs or anything, but he said it was a monster drive, and the president was there admiring it, still holding sort of the shot pose, you know, as they do, and that's when a cameraman took the picture.
We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about unflattering pictures of President Trump. And, you know, he did mention to the New York Times that he didn't like certain pictures.
Yeah, like saying he didn't like pictures of the double chin and everything, not a behind.
And can we use the word behind, please?
Well, yes, the shot was from behind.
It was from behind. Technically, it was from behind of the behind, but...
Well, that's not technical.
It was from behind of the rear end.
Yeah, they was shot on purpose, so it was made to look like the president's got a big rear end, and he's looking down, and you can't even see the tee shot.
That is right. There's no tee shot.
Yeah, and we were given to understand by Dave Sachet, who was there.
Who is Dave Sachet?
You don't know who Dave Sachet is? He's you know him, Phil, right?
No, I don't.
Well, he's one of the top golfers. Right, Steve?
Yeah, on the PGA Tour, you know.
The what?
On the PBA.
You mean the PGA, not the PBA?
Yeah, I'm sorry, PGA.
I've never heard of the guy, although I don't really follow golf all that much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, so he's one of the top golfers, and he did what?
Well, I'm telling you, he saw the shot. It was a monster drive, that's all.
All right, so you're saying that rather than capture a photograph of the drive, they took a picture of the president's, you know, his butt, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They had a camera on his butt, and, you know, that's so weird.
It's really weird. It's just weird to do that.
All right, we're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about these unflattering pictures of President Trump. The one you're talking about was at Mar-a-Lago. You sent along another picture here. This is of a tee shot, and he's in the tee box, and there's a group of people that are around him.
Yeah, this particular picture, Phil, shows the president again in the drive pose. You know, as he hits the ball, it's his follow-through. The club is in the air. The president is smiling. But the cameraman made sure that he positioned himself at such an angle so that, again, you see the big rear end.
Yeah, the behind, the rear end, and there is very evident.
All right, so they're taking these pictures that are unflattering of the president. What is your point?
My point, I already stated it.
Well, she's saying that these are this is what is causing a lot of the foul mood sometimes coming from President Trump.
All right, but look, you know, if I may, Ms. Dooley, just offer this opinion. There's a lot of stuff that's going to upset just any one of us. Bad pictures, you know. Also, news is going to upset the president. This latest thing had to do with some information on being wiretapped.
Well, we think, whether that's true or not, we think the president had just been looking and pondering, because we heard from Dave Sachet, and we also heard from Leo Dugan, that the president had been sitting on a bench.
I don't know. Who is this Leo Dugan? Who are these people?
Members of the PGA.
They're golfers.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them, man.
Well, you say you're not following it, though.
I'm not following it, but even I can recognize names because I do read a sports page.
Yeah, Leo Dugan is probably one of the better ones.
Leo Dugan.
Well, yes. Phil, just because you haven't heard of him.
No, it's Henry.
All right, okay. So Leo Dugan said what?
Leo Dugan said that the president was sitting on a bench on the second tee, staring at a magazine that had a picture of his, the shot of him with the big rear end on the tee box. And he was just staring and staring, his head down. And when someone said finally, "Mr. President, it's your shot," he basically threw the magazine out onto the tee box.
Yep.
He threw it out on the tee box.
Yeah, and then he just walked over to his cart and sat. So,
we're thinking that it is upsetting him.
What was the picture he was looking at?
Well, it was the...
It was the one where if he's teeing off in the follow-through in the big...
And it's on the big ass, you know. All right.
Steve, the behind.
Can we use, like, the term posterior or something like that? These photographs... Now, the president is not the... He's not a slender guy, but he's not obese.
No, I would not say he's obese, but he is. He does look like he's overweight. He looks like he could lose some weight. Now, when you're wearing a pair of pants and a shirt tucked in, et cetera, especially the way the president does, and he has the belt sucked all the way up.
Yeah, a lot of ways can't do that.
We'll talk about the belt.
Because he has the belt sucked high.
Well, what do you mean the belt is sucked high? He's wearing his pants high?
Yeah, exactly. And the belt is well above the navel area. Anything above the navel, and it's sucked up too high.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, I think he's right. I think he's right. I think that's technically right. If the belt's above the navel, you've got it sucked up. And any time, Mr. Henry, you know,
back off the phone, please.
You probably know, Mr. Henry, any time you have your pants too high, then it's going to wedge. And so the president is approaching the tee box, and there he is with Dave, you know, Dave Deshaies. He's also there, Leo Dugan, and everybody and everything like that. And he's got it wedged up.
You say the president is walking up to the tee with the crack of his rear end evident because the pants are sucked into it.
That's exactly right. And let's be very clear. The president has every right in the world to wear whatever pair of pants he wants. But when you're too heavy, obviously things are going to wedge up. What we're trying to say, and I think anyone who has any patriotic sense about them, is saying the same thing to the photographers and the newsmen of America. Would you have some common decency and respect and not position yourselves as he tees off so you can get the wedge shot?
Yeah, to get the wedge shot.
That's all we're saying.
Uh-huh.
What does uh-huh mean, Mr. Henry?
Are you blowing it off?
I'm not blowing it off, no, but I think that you're overstating it a little bit. World famous Phil Henry show with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. We also have Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman. We have Robert Leonard and General Galen Shaw about Mr. Trump and these photographs. Now, one of the photographs that he made very clear to the New York Times that he didn't like was that double chin one.
Well, yeah, he was in that meeting with the New York Times. He said, "Look, not only are you guys a lousy newspaper and so on and so forth," he said, "but what's with these photographs? You show the big fat chin." And all that did was inspire these fat chin shots. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think the president was trying to say to the New York Times, why are you going out of your way to make me look like a tub of guts?
Yeah, it's really it. And why can't you be more flattering?
And why can't you be more flattering? Because, again, this degrades respect for the presidency.
Look, Ms. Dooley, give me a break, will you? If the guy has got the big, if he's got the four chins, whatever he's got.
President Trump doesn't have four chins. All right, he is, he's looking down.
Yeah, when he was looking down on that one picture and it showed the fatness of it.
He's looking down and he's depressed because he's getting hounded and he's being just assaulted. And naturally he's going to drop his head and look down and feel fat. When he does that, then the chin balloons out. All right?
Yeah, it's ballooning out.
Well, when you say it balloons out, that again, how's that the press's fault?
Because the press knows that when they say something to him that will depress him or anger him, he'll drop his head. When he drops his head, then you get balloon effect. And with the fat that he's got going on...
Well, there you are. You're admitting it.
I'm not...
Well, Bobby, you kind of are.
There's not too many ways around it, but the president, I think, he's deserving, I think, of more respect.
There's no question he's deserving of respect, but you can't make him something that he's not, and you can't make photographs or...
You don't have to get all serious. Like, no question. I mean, you sound like it's all, you know, you're all on a TV show or something.
Is that what I'm sounding like? Well, let me just continue sounding like that.
Okay.
I mean, I think my husband's thinking a good point.
I don't. Not at all. I'm saying the president...
Jesus.
Got us, Henry.
That's right. The president can't be made to look like something he isn't. If they're taking pictures of him, if he's got his head, you know, he's looking down at something, a piece of paper, or he's depressed, and his chin's too fat, how's that the press's fault?
Well, I think they're saying a pest that at that time don't take the picture.
Yeah, hold off on a shot until the fat till the chin thins out.
What? How can you hold off on a shot till the chin thins out? Because you're getting a shot.
What is the benefit in taking a picture of a man with his chin looking like it's like he looks like a pelican, really?
That's it exactly. The big fat chin. And they wait for that, and they wait, and they wait. And they may say something like, you know, Mr. President, you're not gaining weight, are you? And he will drop his head depressed. And that's when they'll say, okay, go. Click, click, click. You know they're doing that.
Yeah, they give each other the high sign. We know that. They know that. And they know that we know, you know, and you understand that, Mr. Henry. Everyone knows. Everyone knows the agenda.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows the agenda. I've been hearing this for a long time. So they're waiting for themselves.
God, Mr. General.
It's not Mr., it's General.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Henry, what's up with the General? He's going to be. I'm trying to.
Hey, why don't you guys knock off with all of these, you know, pointing out everybody's stutter stepping here? It's a Monday. We're just right out of the gate, although it's actually a Sunday night. The General is making a point. How in hell are they supposed to anticipate what he's going to look like?
They know that when they say something like, hey, fatso, and he's going to drop his head depressed.
Yeah.
When has anybody ever said, hey, fatso?
You know it's going on.
And this agenda thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's something that the president's promoted. He said the press has an agenda.
Well, they do have an agenda, I think, in making President Trump's behind
way bigger than it is.
All right. So the answer to this, then, is, of course, you have to hold your shot until you get a more flattering shot.
Yeah, you tell a guy how to do his job. His job is to show what a guy looks like. If you say, hey, fats, because you want to get a shot of his fat chin.
Well, why are they standing there and going, hey, fats? And then he gets depressed.
No, are you kidding me? I doubt that anyone's ever done that. Who would have the guts to do that to Donald Trump? And if they said, hey, fats, the last thing he's going to do is dip his head and get all depressed and bummed out. He's going to turn around and say, who said that? And, you know, have some choice words for him.
Well, you know, a lot of people like to say that.
Get off the phone, Steve.
Not on. They like to say that. But how do we know that when they say, hey, fat ass, the president just would go, oh, shoot, you know?
Yeah, right.
I doubt seriously that President Trump is going to go, oh, shoot, and feel depressed.
All right, now, so anyway, how do we, you're asking the press to stop taking these pictures, and I'm telling you it isn't going to happen. Now, Trump has prohibited them from taking pictures of him golfing.
Well, that is true, and that was a very necessary prohibition that was put into place. I think by Leo Dugan and Wad Billingsley?
Yeah, Wad Billingsley.
Wad Billingsley and...
Who is Wad Billingsley? You better not be making these names up, or so help me God.
Excuse me?
Are you making that name up?
I'm not... Who is Wad Billingsley?
Wad Billingsley is on PGA Tour.
Now, I'll tell you right now, I know there's no Wad Billingsley on the PGA Tour.
I'm telling you right now, those are the guys that put into place... The prohibition.
All right, so they put into place the prohibition of the press being out there covering the president, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, maybe I believe that. Where are you getting this Wad Billingsley is on the PGA Tour?
He's on the PGA Tour as an official, right?
Yeah, he's not a golfer. Oh, yeah, see?
You've got it, Mr. Henry, you've really got to wait for the explanation and everything like that.
All right, so Wad Billingsley and Leo Dugan. You know, even if I was going to believe all of this, which I don't, even if I was going to believe all of this...
Well, then what are you wasting time talking to me for, if you don't believe it?
Well, I do not believe that a man named Wad Billingsley is the guy that... Jesus, H.
Did say that Wad Billingsley did this?
Let's say there is a cat named Wad Billingsley.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Henry, for not calling us a liar. God!
Well, what do you mean calling us a liar? I feel like we're a two-headed creature.
Well, in many ways you are, all right?
Oh, how I wish I could hang up.
Everybody calm down. Wad Billingsley said no pictures on the course, right?
That is exactly correct. And the whole reason for that was on account of they had the pictures of the big rear of the behind, you know.
All right, well, that just shows to me that the president doesn't want photographs of himself in unflattering poses. I think it's something else. I think he doesn't want pictures of him golfing.
That's it exactly. The president is on record as having criticized Barack Obama for golfing. He doesn't want the press out there showing him golfing.
No. Why would he? You don't get it, do you?
Yeah, the president's is a top-notch golfer. He could be on the PGA, you know, on account of he's good. But he doesn't want to be because he wants to be president. Why would he want to keep the press from taking pictures of his, you know, monster shots and draining it, you know,
What do you mean by draining it?
No, it's
That's what they call, you know, sinking a putt.
Yeah, sinking a putt.
All right.
God, give me a look like that, Bobby.
You're talking about draining it, and you're talking about the president.
I know. I'm not talking about him draining a snake. God.
How dare you?
Yeah!
Sit down over there.
Did you strike him?
No, I did not. I just pushed him.
God damn it.
All right.
You didn't hit him.
No, I did not.
Well, then what was he screaming for?
Were you screaming?
No, I'm standing on a ledge, though. I'm putting up a new screen.
He's on the second story of our home, putting a screen up, and I pushed him, and he thought he was going to fall.
Oh, boy.
What does that mean?
Well, why? What, are you trying to kill a man, for God's sake?
No, I'm saying he doesn't get to talk about the President of the United States draining a snake.
But you do.
I'm not talking about that.
We're just drop it. Drop it, drop it, drop it. So the answer to this problem is prohibit the press, which I think they've done, and what else?
Prohibiting the press and then an appeal like this. We're simply going to say, would you have the common decency not to publish photographs of the president with the big behind?
Well, you're going to have to find another way of saying that. Because when you say big behind, you're going to get a whole lot of people laughing, especially those press rooms.
Yeah, this is going to not take you seriously.
Well, then we're asking them to not take... I don't care what they do. Don't take pictures of the president with the big...
Got the butt wedge.
Yeah, with an ass wedge. And the other thing that you have to...
Bobby and Steve Dooley...
Where'd they go?
That's the end of it for me, as far as I'm concerned. Bobby and Steve Dooley...
Well, the last thing out of her mouth was, don't take pictures of the president with the big ass wedge.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not flattering.
Right. You know, I can kind of understand how you don't want to just, for laughs, keep trying to find the worst shot of a guy. You know, I mean, because that's an editorial comment right there.
What do you mean, Senator?
Well, if you're being an objective reporter, and you're just reporting the facts, but you're looking for unflattering pictures, then you're beginning to influence the story, I think, editorially. I think you're beginning to editorialize with a photograph, and I don't think that that's necessarily a fair thing. All right, we're going to be coming back here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on Kellyanne Conway. Later on, Pastor William Rennick, who will tell us of his experience there outside the theater there on Sunset Boulevard, the Academy Awards Theater. Was that what is it called, the Kodak Theater?
Well, you've been down there more often than me. You don't know the name of it?
What do you mean I'm down there more often than you?
Well, you know, you're always talking about hanging around Hollywood Boulevard.
No, I'm not.
No, you're driving past.
Yeah, I'm driving past. It doesn't mean that I hang around.
Well, you're down there more often than we are.
I don't know. I think it's the Kodak Theater or something like that. We'll be back.
What about the Disney Theater?
That's downtown. All right, so we'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, man, we've got big, big announcements coming up on the Phil Henry Show website happening this week. We're going to get specific with you in the coming days. We're going to tell you all kinds of marvelous things about our brand spanking new website, about all of the features and the facets of our new website, what it is, what it isn't, and there's a whole lot waiting for you at philhenryshow.com. This is the week that we'll begin to drop a few hints, and then, of course, we'll look forward to the rollout. It's coming up very, very soon. The Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Check it out. You probably flinch if somebody sneezes. Blathengame Fabrics. Hi, everybody. This is the Chris Blathengame. Blathengame Fabrics have been in the San Fernando Valley for quite some time. Blathengame Fabrics come in every kind of fabric for every kind of furniture. Blathengame Fabrics are silk and cotton. We have the wool. We have every kind of seat cover, every kind of couch cover, every kind of settee, for instance. Or if you'd like to use a beautiful covering on a bureau or beautiful bedspreads or sheets, things like that. At Blathengame Fabrics, we know exactly what you need and we know exactly what you want. And Blathengame Fabrics, by the way, have discounts. Yes, up to 60%, 70%, even 80% off on Blathengame Fabrics. Come on in and talk to Sue Sathamer and, of course, me, Dave Blathengame. We're partners in Blathengame Fabrics. Blathengame Fabrics in the San Fernando Valley. Seat covers, floor covers, head covers, burkas. Blathengame Fabrics, that's right. We got the brand new burkas. Blathengame Fabrics. Blathengame Fabrics.
Fabrics. Fabrics. Fabrics. Fabrics. Ooh!
Blathengame.
Life.
Nah.
Woo!
Cups with the ice, and we do this every night.
The world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico here in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray.
I make my own money, so I spend it.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is online with us, and we're going to be talking here with Jay about Kellyanne Conway. This is a story that's near and dear to a lot of women, and I don't know that there is too much to say when it comes to a story like this, Jay, then people need to be kind. It does not matter what your political persuasion is. I really think people need to be much kinder.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, Ms. Gray, but I do feel, as you stated at the very beginning of this broadcast, that a woman has to behave in a way like fashion.
Yes, oh, absolutely, absolutely. But let's start with kindness. And I agree with Chelsea Clinton. And by the way, Kellyanne Conway also agreed with Chelsea Clinton when Chelsea Clinton said that Kellyanne Conway was treated really miserably.
Well, you know, if anybody talked about my wife that way or daughter that way, friend, you know, the general's coming to town, and I would suggest you clear out by sunset.
All right. I mean, that all of that stuff is well and good, General. And I'm right there with you on this. But the Citizens Auxiliary Police has a duty to alert the public to possible, as I say, possible disturbances or things that are going to cause a disturbance. And I think, Ms. Gray, to the point you made at the beginning of the show, while, yes, we want to treat women with respect, I think you were saying very well when you said with the leg spread, you open yourself up. You know, yeah. Not only are you opening your legs up, but with every inch you're spreading your legs, that's how many inches you're spreading your whole, you know.
You're spreading your whole what?
Yeah. What are you saying?
You're vulnerable.
All right, well, give us a specific here, J.S. And by the way, what do you have to do with this?
Now, see, that's the thing I want to know, man. What do you got to do with any of this?
What do I have to do with any of this? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. What do you have to do with any of it?
What do I have to do with any of it?
Yeah, what do you got to do with any of it?
All right, take it easy, Dickman, okay? That plate in your head, I don't know how that influences you or how it redirects the...
Never mind how the plate in his head works. What do you have to do with Kellyanne Conway kneeling on a couch, maybe spreading her knees, whatever?
Because it is our job, Citizens Auxiliary Police, as I've said, to take a peek over the shoulder of the police and to make sure they're doing their job.
What is the police? What do they have to do with this?
What the police have to do with it is to alert the community, in this instance, the president or the press, that we have a possibility of some sort of indecent behavior here. There is a possibility that there's going to be an incitement to, you know, some, you know, like a riot or something. I mean, it wouldn't cause me to riot, but Kellyanne Conway spreading it out.
I don't like the term spreading it out.
Let's make it a little bit more...
All right, well, Kellyanne Conway, with her knees apart, could be an incitement to a disturbance.
Yeah, the only incitement to a disturbance would be a lot of people going, and you know, running away.
Oh, man. Doesn't sound like a jackball.
What do you mean sound like a jackball?
He doesn't sound any more like a jackball than anybody saying that Kellyanne Conway spreading her legs would cause a disturbance in what sense?
Well, you just heard Dickman say... Right?
He said they'd be running away in fear.
Oh, well, no, I don't mean that. As a matter of fact, Dickman, right there, that comment you made right there, if that's what you did say, what Mr. Henry said that you said?
What?
What did you say?
I said if she spread her legs, you say it's going to cause a disturbance. Yeah, I would go, and I'd run.
Would you stop that?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you at all. If I seen that, I'd go,
all right, bud, enough.
Oh, man, cut it out. What the hell are you trying to do anyway?
That's what I do.
All right, see right there. What you're doing, Dickman, is you would then be causing a disturbance. You know, have you ever heard the term, there's a disturbance in the force?
Yeah, there's a disturbance in the force. Jay Santos got out of his cage.
That's a good one, son. Yeah, pretty good.
All right, you know, we can play this any way you want to play it. If I was here right now, I'd probably have you up on a wall spray and you'd have to spread.
Yeah, I bet I would have to spread. Probably have to spread and get out, you know, a can of margarine.
What?
Let's knock it off and just stick to the point. You're talking about a disturbance. What do you mean?
I'm... Jesus.
Oh, my God, Jay, you're like...
I'm trying to process what Mr. Henry is asking.
Other than what, you know, Bud said... Sorry, Bud, I couldn't remember your name.
You might want to take another week off.
Yeah, Phil, why don't you relax another week?
No, thank you. Other than what Bud said, what kind of disturbance?
I'm saying that Kellyanne Conway, I mean, I don't know whether you notice or not, but she put together pretty nice, you know, very attractive woman. And,
what are you talking about?
Huh?
All right, let's not comment.
You know, Jay, do you wear glasses?
Oh, my God. You don't think she's hot? Mr. Andrew, you think she's hot?
I'm not going to comment on that, and I don't want anybody else to. What is your point?
Well, my point is there's a lot of guys. Yeah, right. Anyway, okay, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, all right, Mr. Andrew, see, you don't think she is. That's fine. I think that...
Look, Santos, you know, just speak for yourself.
I think she is obviously super hot. And she's going to kneel on a couch and go, hey, you know, it's almost like saying, you know, I'm going to kneel down on a couch now and I'm going to take some pictures and, you know, just kind of, yeah, maybe slip the camera down there. Jeez.
You know, you are as vulgar as they come.
Ms. Gray, I wasn't the one kneeling on a couch with it spread, you know.
Talking about someone spreading it, my friend, that young lady, Ms. Conway, was taking pictures of a group of dignitaries that were visiting the president, and in the process, was kneeling on a couch. Now, you're talking about spread.
That is something we talk about continuously in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, General. Now, we have in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, any given moment, we have within our capability to get anybody to spread.
What do you mean by spread, man? Are you talking about putting somebody on a wall and frisking them?
Yeah.
Mr. Andy, you went, what do you mean?
I know.
All right, but you did scare me, too. Thank you, bud.
Just pointing it out.
Thanks, because I heard you go, what do you mean? You know, Mr. Andy, I...
You know, I'm going to walk out of here and let you guys conclude the show on your own terms.
Well, if you do that, then I will stop the show right now and hang up on Jay.
Oh, thanks a lot.
We're not going to do it.
I'm saying that when I talk about a spread, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, man. I just, you know.
You said that you know a lot about spreading, and I'm not even going to comment on that. There's about a million jokes there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Like spread a butt cheek or something like that.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Phil Henry Show.
I think that's premature. You get back and talk to him more.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yeah, I think at least. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? You there?
Yeah, right here. What happened?
I hung up on that whole spread the butt cheek thing, okay?
Well, you're the one to ask me about spread.
You said you know about it.
I'm talking about when you frisk someone.
And what's that got to do with Kellyanne Conway?
In her instance, I'm not going to frisk it. She's spreading it. Forget it, man.
So Kellyanne Conway is behaving, in your opinion, in an obscene way.
Yes, I do. And I'm not saying that it's totally, totally obscene. And I'm not saying that's, you know, like triple X-rated, super graphic, you know, like just total graphic. But I am saying it's suggestive. And in so doing, I mean, I'm a man, and I'm very professional. And none of that stuff affects me, although I will tell you, in a situation like that, if I had to enter the Oval Office and I had to say, excuse me, but you are spreading.
When are you ever going to be allowed anywhere near the Oval Office?
If we felt that we had to make our way there, let me tell you something. I have Jay Santos with a line of guys in pith helmets behind him walking up to the Oval Office and saying, excuse me, but, you know, she's spreading it. You guys really don't get it, do you?
All I know, Jay, is the last time we talked to you, you were in a sports bar. You were almost getting your ass kicked, so you guys had to collapse into some sort of a protective...
We collapse into a protective posture, and then we move as one unit in and out of bar. Like where we are right now, as a matter of fact. We're here at a convention of... we're here at like a Trump rally. We're here at at the offices of the Daily Coast. Let's see, like where we are right now. We're here at the We're here at a little Trump rally that busted out right here in Santa Monica, and they're hearing me talking about Kellyanne Conway. And see right now, they're looking at me. What are you looking at? And what are you looking at? All right, let's collapse into a defensive posture. All right, we're going to move out, Phil. We're going to move out. Moving out, move.
There he is.
He was moving out to what? He was probably... I hope he keeps on going until they hit a cliff.
Yeah, and you fall off.
Oh, boy. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com coming back.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'll be right back here with more. We have Pastor William Rennick coming up next.
I am a sinner.
Marky Mayhew Cigars. Boy, there's nothing like the great taste of a Marky Mayhew cigar, and here's why. We soak the cigar in whiskey, then we let it dry in a windowsill for 3 days. Then we soak it some more, let it dry in a windowsill, then toss it out into the street, let it get run over a few times so it looks like a bum was sucking on it, and then threw it away. Then we smoke it ourselves about a quarter down. Then we sit it on a windowsill and we pour ice water over top of it. Then we cure it in lemonade, we sit it on a windowsill and let it dry out there, and then we package it up, rebandage it, stick it in a bag, and say, here, here's a Marky Mayhew cigar. Suck on that. Marky Mayhew Cigars. One of a kind since 1941. Not really.
Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor William Rennick. Stick around. I'm coming up next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Man, there ain't nothing like Waldo's Barbecue, because it's all Texas. All the time. We don't mess around with any of that. Texas Barbecue from Waldo. And right now, get two of our barbecue beef sandwiches, one stacked pork sandwich, and a fine chicken barbecue. Get it all for one singular price of $9.99. Waldo's Barbecue. We don't mess around at all. Texas Barbecue for you, all of you out there. Waldo Barbecue. 25th and Manger in Mandatin.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe is right. They already killed my vibe.
Oh, General.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. Pastor William Rennick is going to be on the line with us here in just a moment. I've got to, before I bring him on, though, I've got to be clear as to what it is that, what is the claim that's being made here?
Pastor Rennick was near the Kodak Theater there the night of the Academy Awards, and I guess he said he saw what was going on behind the scenes, and he's challenging some of the things that people were saying. Like, for instance, they said that nobody knew that this was going to be taking place, that all the people were surprised by it. And I guess he's saying that is not the case at all.
All right, well, let me bring on Pastor William Rennick. We can get out of here.
Yeah, just making fun of it.
Will you knock it off, bud?
Sorry.
Yeah, Pastor Rennick, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, tell us what you saw Academy Award night.
Well, I was on Hollywood Boulevard, and Clara can vouch for this. I went down there because on any given night on Hollywood Boulevard, of course, there are a great many people that you can speak with, pass out literature, let them know about Joyful Union Congregation. But on that particular night, there's a lot of tourists who want to come down and see the Hollywood stars at the Academy Award, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot more people down there for the Oscars.
Exactly. Now, I'm standing outside the Kodak Theater, and a man comes out, and but at the same time, I see the bus pull up. That's a Starlight Tours bus. Clara, honey, you were not there.
I know that.
You were not there, so I get to talk about all this myself.
You're talking about Starlight?
Yes, I'm talking about the Starlight Tour.
All right, so the Starlight Tour pulls up, and you see the security guy come out of the theater.
And I see the security. Now, this guy come out, he said, I represent Hollywood. Jimmy Kimmel is in here, and the people come off the bus, excuse me. I got a little bit of kind of a acid reflux situation. Oh, man.
That's that track tip.
Yeah. That great roux. My wife makes a great roux.
She makes a what? I'm sorry?
A roux. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's like a gravy.
Right, and it's beautiful, honey, but it burns. Oh, man, it burns. So, I was there. Now, Jimmy Kimmel, he come out.
Wait a minute, the man's name is what, Jimmy?
Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm sorry, Jimmy Kimmel. He comes out, he says, I want people to come in here and pretend like your mind's blown to hell. And you're going to come in and pretend like your mind is blown, it's shot to hell, and like you didn't know what you're going to see. Pretend like you're coming to see a game show or something like that. And oh, yeah, okay, I'm down with that. Yeah, I can do that. And I'm with that kind of thing. And
now wait, what you're making a claim here is pretty serious. You're saying,
I'm saying Jimmy Kimmel come out, and
Jimmy Kimmel.
The man's name is Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel come out.
Jimmy Kimmel himself came out.
No, not him, but the guy to represent him. I'm just saying that Kimmel sent a guy out there.
What is with Kimmel?
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel said a guy out there, and he said, we want you people to come in and pretend like you're all, your mind is blown, and your mind is blown to hell, because, wow, you're at the Academy Awards.
Why didn't they just get the people to be unsuspecting to go in there?
Because they're afraid that they wouldn't go in. Because they got out of the bus, and they all go wandering up and down the street, and going, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that, you know, doing the sightseeing and everything like that.
Let me go sightseeing, Mr. Henley.
Let me do it, Clara. You weren't there at all. I get to do it.
All right, fine. So they were going to be sightseeing.
Yeah, and they weren't going to go in. So Jimmy Kimmel had to send a man out there, and the man had to tell these people, come on in. Hey, we got something special for you here.
Yeah, the guy, so you're calling this man Jimmy...
Jimmy Kimmel.
Who's Jimmy Kimmel?
That's the guy.
That's probably the guy that he sent out there.
No, he didn't.
No, but well, there was a guy that come out. His name could have been Jimmy Kimmel. The man is Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, so Jimmy Kimmel goes out there and says what?
How many times I got to tell you, man? He,
Come on in and act surprised. So, in other words, those people were not really surprised. They were acting surprised.
As far as I know, yeah. Because Kimmel, Kimmel, you know, not him, but the guy representing, the Kimmel representative come out and said, come on in and pretend like you're surprised. That's all I heard. That's all I know.
Talking with Pastor William Rennie, that's all you heard, that's all you know.
That's right. But I'm thinking, if that's true, Jimmy Kimmel, has got a lot of explaining to do. Because, look, every night on ABC, the Kimmel...
Why? What do you got a problem with this guy's name?
Because there's a commercial on my Kimmel mix. Get the commercial off, will you?
That dog food.
I know that. Clara's looking at this commercial about Kimmel mix for the dog. The Kimmel...
Jimmy Kimmel, in other words, lied to people saying that they were... that was a tour bus loaded of people who didn't know where they were. They were actually authentically surprised at being found, at going into the Academy Awards.
What?
You know what I said.
I think I... But what I'm saying is that they were not...
Yes, we know that.
Right. And Jimmy Kimmel did it. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel did it.
Well, it was a Kibble or Kimmel.
Was there a Kibble?
Said it might be the doorman.
I can assure you that the doorman's name is not Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, how do you know? You don't know.
Well, you don't know either, and all you've done here is talk about Jimmy Kimmel, and he's lying to people. You don't know that.
Oh, my God. What did I just tell you I heard?
You heard some ass come out of the theater and say something, and whether he was saying it directly to those people or whether they even understood what he was saying, we don't know, okay? And it's a pretty serious charge, Pastor Rennick.
Well, look, now you're getting into an area where you're going to have to back off. I'm a man of God, okay? I'm not lying to you.
Well, maybe it's something you misunderstood.
Maybe I misunderstood it. Okay, maybe I misunderstood it, but I'm not lying to you. And I'm honestly telling you that when a guy named, Jimmy Kimmel, because I don't know if it was Kimmel.
All right, and then maybe it wasn't Jimmy Kimmel.
Maybe it wasn't.
How do you know his name was Kibble?
I don't know that his name was Kibble. I don't know it wasn't. All I'm saying is the man came out, and he had on one of those monkey suits. You know those usher suits? He had a blue blazer. He had a full blue suit on. I don't know whether this guy was an usher or whether he was a preacher. Well, I got rid of all my blue suits. Anyway, as I was saying...
Let me have the phone. He is talking a whole lot of mess, Mr. Rennie. Jimmy Kimmel did not come out. Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think anyone...
His name's... Never mind.
Yeah. What is wrong?
Kimmel, Clara.
I don't think he came out and said that. And if he did, I think Pastor Rennick has misunderstood where those people understood.
I'll tell you right now, look at the TV and look at the rerun, because I looked very carefully at the rerun of those people coming to the theater, and you can tell the way Kimmel is...
You know what? You can't get the guy's name right. I bet you nothing you saw is right.
I tell you, if you look at that, you can see the way they're interacting. They know the whole thing is horseshit.
That's the third guy we hang up on here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Batten 1000.
Well, what in the name of... I'll tell you this. That guy, Pastor Rennick, if he's down on Hollywood Boulevard looking for more members of his congregation, he must be on the skids.
Yeah, he's looking for souls to save.
Who knows? I'd like to thank all of our guests this evening, and certainly thank you guys for listening here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show live streaming. This is our Sunday Monday. If you're listening on Monday, we recorded this live Sunday night. So get a backstage pass and watch us as we do this thing live on Sunday nights for your dancing and listening pleasure on Monday. Our other live streaming event is on Friday nights. That is our BSP chat. We just had a good time with the backstage pass people on Friday night. So join us, won't you? And of course, be prepared, because we've got all kinds of things to tell you about our brand new website coming up this week. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from El Pacifico. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.